We're going to be looking at Galatians 5, 13 through 26. We're only going to do the first 18, to verse 18, but I want to read it through to whet your appetite for the whole portion. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. All right, here it goes. Starting in verse 13 of Galatians 5. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension and factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. I titled the name of this, I was so excited about this, because to me, personally, this is one of the most important passages in all of Scripture for a believer, okay? We've looked at this as ethical instructions. No, okay, we'll go down the list, and we're not going to do this, and we're going to do that, and that sort of thing. And look, there are ethical instructions in this. But the section as a whole, I mean, we've been doing Galatians now for weeks, couple months, 3 months, I don't know, maybe 4 months. But Paul's bringing his argument to a conclusion, to a proper conclusion, and that was what he said in Galatians 3:3. He said there, remember, after beginning with the Spirit, remember that? I kept pointing this out. Are you now trying to attain your goal or be perfected or become mature by human effort? Like, how are you going to live the Christian life, ladies and gentlemen? By human effort? Well, he's laying it out for us today, the secret of the Christian life, the victorious Christian life. You live the victorious Christian life by the same way you got into it, by God's Holy Spirit. This is so important. You know, and Paul has been arguing pretty intently about believers falling back into legalism and the law, right? He keeps talking about, well, the law, you're not under the law. The law can't do what you think it's going to do. It's going to bring condemnation. Now he warns us into thinking that when we're without law, that somehow we have a license to sin. Okay? But he's going to say that God has provided something that nips everything in the bud, that he's given us the Holy Spirit to live by. He says, if you're not under the law, so how are you going to guide your life? What's going to give you the power to live a life pleasing to God? And he's wrapping it up and say, it's the Spirit, folks. Do you rely on the Spirit every day? Or do you pick and choose things that you should do and then buckle down and try to work harder at those? Which is part of what you do, but are you relying on the Spirit? This is huge, folks. This is how you live a victorious Christian life, through the Spirit. And he says, look, this freedom that we have is a responsible freedom. Not to go into permissiveness or not to let your flesh go hog wild because you know you're saved. No, he says this was given to you so that you can be conformed to the people of God and you can have victory over those areas in your life that are holding you into bondage. This is huge. He says we need to walk by the Spirit in verse 16. We're to be led by the Spirit in verse 18. We are to keep in step by this in the Spirit in verse 25. And he said that when we rely on the Holy Spirit on a daily moment by moment, some wonderful thing takes place. The fruit of the Spirit starts to be manifested in our lives. Do you understand that? It's not that I say, well, I'm going to love, although that's a part of it, but what brings about the fruit of the Spirit is saying that I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit. And in that mode, He starts to manifest His fruit. Do you see the difference here of relying on the Spirit? Because if you rely on your own willpower to bring about the fruits of the Spirit, it's not going to happen. Because they're fruit of the Holy Spirit, which happens by you abiding in what? Jesus said, you abide in the vine. How much do we rely on the Holy Spirit? Like I said in the introduction, this is the most vital truth for living a victorious Christian life. And it's this, I wrote it down, is that the Holy Spirit, which indwells every true believer, is the effective agent for living out a victorious Christian life in true righteousness. We got it. Are we relying upon it? And as I prepared this, I said, oh, I hope this person's here and this person's here. And, you know, I'm sorry, but that's what I do. You know, I think about different people. And because I wanted them to know that they have, you know, these lists of the awful list of the deeds of the flesh that he puts there are put there to let you know that you can have victory over each and every one of those things. Look at it through those eyes. Not, oh me, look how bad I'm doing. Look at how he's guaranteeing victory in every one of those areas. We'll look at them next week in detail. But I read through them there, okay? Are we excited about this? Or am I just excited about this? You know, the problem is I knew this all week and I found myself acting in the flesh again, right? So, you know, I'm preaching to myself up here. But how many people get up each day and rely on the Spirit of God to give them victory every day? This has to be part and partial to with the cup of coffee or reading the paper, whatever you do. This has to be developed as a mindset that I can have freedom because I have the Holy Spirit to rely upon, and when I walk in the Spirit, none of these things, they're antithetical to one another. They're mutually exclusive. You can't walk in the Spirit and walk in the flesh at the same time. One of them will take precedent. And Paul's going to talk about that a little bit. We'll just look at it real closely. But Paul's worried that all this talk about that you're free from the law, he knows that somebody's going to say, well, then I can just live however I want. And look it, we have a problem in Christianity. Because Because the fact that remains that once saved, always saved, but the fact that remains is that people are abusing that freedom and indulging the flesh, and they're wondering why they have no victory. Because they're not relying on the Spirit. Verse 15, he says this. He says, if you, and look at, one more thing about this needs to be said about this. We look at this as personal, right? In my own life. But Paul is addressing the fact here that the way you've conducting your life at home, the way you're either relying on the Spirit or you're letting the flesh dominate you, is going to affect this fellowship of believers. Do you know that? You can't just, you know, I mean, for a while you can come on to put the big dog here and say, well, okay, I am going to be the picture of a perfect Christian person. What I'm trying to say is your interior life affects the fellowship of believers. It does. You can't turn it on and turn it on. You can't for a while. And what he's addressing here in verse 15 has to do with acts of the sinful nature that destroy the love and unity in the body of Christ. Here's what he says. He warns against it. He says, if you keep on biting and devouring one another, which is what? A deed of the sinful nature. Watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. And in verse 26, later on, we won't do this next week, he warns about becoming conceited, provoking and envying one another. So, if we walk in the flesh, it's going to, we're used to walking in that mode and not relying on the Spirit, it's going to affect how the fellowship negatively, right? But the flip side of that is if you're used to walking in the Spirit and you've developed, that's going to affect the fellowship positively. So there's very much this corporate idea here. Verse 13, he says, you, my brothers, are called to be free, but do not indulge your freedom to indulge a sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Love. That's his key that he's after today. He says, when you're in the mode of relying on the Spirit and he starts to manifest the fruits of the Spirit. By the way, he's going to manifest all those fruits, not just one or the other. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in general. You may be easier to manifest some fruits because of your nature or disposition, but he's going to manifest all these fruits in our lives, not just one. It's not the fruits of the Holy Spirit, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, okay? So, people think that they can live in any way they want. But they can't. Because they become slaves to what they're overcome from. Okay, I'm going back. I'm going to move on. I forgot something, a point I wanted to make, but it's not relevant anymore. Okay? it's relevant, but not in the train of thought I'm going to. He says, serve one another in love. What did Jesus say? We serve one another in love. He said in Mark 10, 43 and 44, whoever wants to become great among you must be a servant. So there's this idea of servanthood that always has to be in there. Right? Servant. I want to serve you. What can I do to make your life better? What can I do help you get through what you're... I want to love you. And Paul says, this echoes whose words? Jesus, right? That's what he said. He said the entire law is summed up in a single command. Well, this is what verse 14 says. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, it's easy to understand that, right? You understand that, right? You're to love your neighbor as yourself, right? But the problem is in the doing, isn't it? Partly because we have this inherent sinful nature that says, well, who's my neighbor? Right? That's what the guy said that came to Jesus. Who's my neighbor? You mean I'm to love the neighbor I don't like? You mean I'm to love that reprobate down the street who I don't want my kids around? Which may be a fact. But Jesus calls us to love and care for our neighbors in the same way that we care for ourselves. Now, unfortunately, in our narcissistic society, we have this idea, well, you got to love yourself first. That's not what this is saying, although there's truth in it, okay? What it is instinctively like how you take care of yourself. You should have the same instinctiveness about your neighbor. That's what he's really saying there, to get it off this idea that you got to love yourself. Actually, myself, I don't love at times. My sinful self. I'm like, man, really, Bob? Get over that. You got to be right? Do you got to be contentious? Do you have to... whatever, you fill in the spots, right? You know you live in this flesh.
Looks like we love ourselves pretty good.
Yeah, a little too much, right? Thank you. And Paul says, obviously they weren't doing this because they were biting and devouring one another. Let's move on. Verse 16. The Spirit enables us to overcome the sinful nature. He says in verse 16, he says, so I say, live. King James says walk, which I like both of them. So I say, live or walk by the Spirit, and you maybe won't. I mean, is that what it says? Oh, good, you're watching me. Maybe. Walk in the Spirit and maybe. No, he says, and you will not. Look at this is groundbreaking. This is liberating. This is a promise of God. If you live and walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify. Now, does that seem too much of a demand? No, it's a promise. It's not my demand. It's His promise. You will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. You know the antidote for all of our sinful nature is? The Spirit. Look, I'm all for counseling. Okay? I've been counseled. And I pretty much understand myself. More than I want to, oh me. But the bottom line after I left is I had to rely on the Holy Spirit to overcome it. All my reasoning would not allow me to overcome that. It is good to have insight, but that insight has to lead you to the fact that the sinful nature is going to be eradicated and put to death by walking in the Spirit. This is groundbreaking. You guys all owe me $90 an hour for this. And I'm not downplaying. I mean, there were times when I didn't know up from down, and I needed someone to talk to. And it's okay to understand why you're reacting a certain way, but you better get down at the bottom is how you can overcome it. And this is what he said. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify those things. That's good news. That's tremendous news. The basic imperative of the Christian life is walk in the Spirit. That's part of the new covenant, right? This is why we have a better covenant with better promises. Because he's put the Spirit of the living God in us. The one who spoke the world into existence. The one who keeps everything in order. He's given us part of it, he's given us that Spirit for us to have access to. Oh. I mean, you guys aren't as excited as I think you should be. We need to live by the Spirit because really we are supposed to be dead men walking. We are crucified with Christ. No longer I that live. Remember the baptisms? Remember all that? No longer I'm crucified with Christ. He says you need to reckon that to be so every single moment of every single day. Sinful nature, though, is in conflict, isn't with us. Because it always wants to look out for number one. Right? It's always concerned about my rights, my ego, my feelings. Right? I mean, I'm just like you. There's no problem there. So, as you know, it's not automatic, is it? That's the fly in the ointment. It's not automatic. We have to take a concerted effort. But we have the promises, and we have His presence. And so we have the victory. It's certainly, I wrote this, it's certainly no matchup for the sinful nature and the Spirit of the living God. Can I get at least an amen on it? There's no matchup, right? But Paul says, look, there's a battle going on in 17. And listen carefully. I don't want to go too long, but here's what he says. He says, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. In other words, I mentioned that earlier with a big word, antithetical and mutually exclusive of one another. Look, at any way you choose, there's going to be a conflict, right? He says they are in conflict with each other so that you can't. Is that in there? So that you can't do what you want? No, it doesn't say that. So that you do not do what you want. Not that you can't. But either way, you've got to monitor this battle that goes on, right?
Right.
It's a monitoring system. And hopefully you're mature enough now to know that when the Spirit of God is quenched, you're going to lose your peace about the activity you've just done, right? Or are about to do. You've come to a crisis situation. Look, I've learned in that moment, if I really, really want to call on the Lord, I will have victory. The problem is I don't want to sometimes. I want to fondle and, you know, the I... Well, I'm hurt, so I'm going to lash out like that, or whatever it is. I mean, I'm talking my own life here. Nobody else's. I'm talking about my life. Paul's point is quite clear. There's a war going on. There's conflict going on. But it's also clear, it's not that you can't do what you want. It's that there's always this conflict going on. The Holy Spirit, and really, see, you're dead. You're supposed to be dead. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to oppose that sinful nature. So you can't do just whatever you want. He's not going to let you sin like you used to do. He's not going to let you get away. Because He knows deep down inside, you want to be conformed to Christ. Amen? I mean, that's our desire because we're Christians. Because it grieves Him and then we feel it too. Paul says you don't need law to keep you in line. That's what he's been saying. You've got a better facility, the third person of the Trinity living in you that's got it covered. Let Him cover it. Verse 18. He says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now, I'm like, Paul, why did you say that? What did you say? Why didn't you say if you're led by the Spirit, you're not going to be led by the flesh? But he brings the law back in here. Why? Because the law, as he's been saying for five chapters now, is powerless to affect our lives in change. It doesn't mean that the law is not good, but it has no power. So every day we got to get up and say, I'm not going to look at some laws I can keep. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. And I'm going to ask Him to guide me. This is phenomenal. I hope we all get it. That the Spirit in is sufficient over the law and over the flesh. That's all you need. It's not all you, that's what you need. And only believers have it. And that is something to be grateful for. That is something to be grateful for. That's not something to be proud of. That's something to be grateful for. Because, you know, the flesh, boy, it ruins lives. It ruins families. It ruins relationships. It's the devil's work, right? He takes occasion through our flesh to do his work. The evil in the world is the sin that you and I commit to a large extent. Look, we have the victory. It's not by that we can't be won by observance of laws. It's not going to be won by our willpower. You know, I don't have time to go into Romans 7. But if you notice Romans 7, that whole chapter, Paul says, I. He says, I with my mind serve the law of God. Just one second. I just don't want to misquote it. I saw something so clearly this week from Romans. You know, the Spirit of God isn't even mentioned once in Romans 7. It's not until Romans 8 that he mentions the Spirit. So he's talking about a conflict going on here, in my humble opinion, about this idea of, here's what he says. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law. No Christian is a slave to God's law anymore. Okay? So Paul's giving a hypothetical sort of idea here that if you think that you're going to have victory because God's law is in your mind, it's not going to happen. If you think you're going to have victory in your sinful nature by willpower, it's not going to happen. What he says, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that you have victory. That whole seven's leading up to the idea that, not that, you know, we can use this as an excuse. No, he's given it all to say, that's not how you live a victorious Christian life. He says here, verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His Son in the likeness of sinful man to be in sin offering. And so He condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Put to death the misdeeds of the body through the power of the Spirit. And as you do that, you will be pleasantly surprised that because He has reign in your life, you will start to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Because you can also get to this other extreme and say, well, I'm going to be more loving today. Notice the pronoun I. I'm not going to drink anymore. Notice the pronoun I. I mean, we could go through every one of these fruits, the deeds of the sinful nature. But if you say, I'm not going to do this today because I'm going to let the Holy Spirit live His life through me, you'll have the victory. I'm not saying it happens overnight, but you will have the victory. Because He said that, right? These are the truths of the gospel. You can live a victorious Christian life by relying on the Spirit. Now that's a big subject, but just start with asking Him every day. And we'll try to unfold some of that, okay? All right, let's stand. Amen.